Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here, 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike Tannenbaum rejoining the show, former NFL GM. He's an NFL insider for ESPN, 33rd team as well, doing a great job. It's his time of the year. It's football time. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Great to be with you.
Yeah. So Washington, Cam Newton's sitting there. I saw you said you. I heard you say that you think that'd be a nice fit there.
Absolutely. I don't know why Washington would not sign him. When you think about, guys, it's 16 more games to go this year, and he has a relationship with Ron Rivera, so there's obviously some familiarity there. Knowing that it's not going to be exactly the same. If I was Washington, I would sign him, knowing that we're going to have a real chance to have a good team this year. So I don't really see the downside in signing him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they decide to handle that, because early in the year, I mean, Washington's very much in the mix when you look at that division. But is it a team that you think based on what you saw from the Dallas Cowboys in their first matchup, is Washington a team that no matter even if they have Cam, they have enough offense to hang with a team like Dallas long-term?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say that overall, I thought offensively they were going to move the ball better against Chargers. And look, it's only one game. I do believe in Taylor Heinicke. You know, when you go back last year, guys, he really played well against the Buccaneer defense in the playoffs. So they're going to have to play more consistently because they're, you know, Dallas is going to be able to score a ton of points. We saw that already. But the other thing about Washington, guys, they may have the best front seven in all of football.
What are you I'm hearing so much stuff and a lot of criticism this week about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. Are we already after week one in relax RELAX mode?
Well, I don't think we could overreact in one game. With that said, I was shocked how he played. You know, one of the things, guys, we got to remember is, you know, he is human. And what he went through, just think about it, every conversation he's having with a friend, a relative, is about what's going on, what's your future, you know, are they treating you fairly? That's got to impact you, even for an all-time great. And the best players I've been around in my career, guys, really do have the fundamental ability to block things out. So I do think there should be some concern, but I don't think we should overreact because, again, it's just one game.
Yeah, that's kind of how I look at it. And speaking of overreaction inside that same game, you know, we know Cam Newton threw for – I'm not Cam Newton, but I was going to get to Cam in a second. Jameis threw for 148 yards but five touchdowns. You remember last year, the first 2 to 3 weeks, really first 2 weeks, Cam Newton got off to a good start and the overreaction was, holy wow, what a steal the Patriots got. And at the end of it, it was not a steal. Is Jameis, do you think this is a little bit of an overreaction by people with Jameis? Or, and I think more than likely, is it Sean Payton is just a really, really good fit for Jameis and maybe Jameis is growing up as a quarterback?
I thought he was going to be the comeback player of the year. I thought the game slowed down for him a little bit. I think he saw the value of a check down. And he humbled himself, guys. 70 starts, 27 years old, to sit behind Drew Brees a year ago. I think that says a lot about him. It was one game, and I know we shouldn't overreact, but I think if he could just minimize those 2 to 3 bad plays a game, I really think the Saints would be very happy with Jameis Winston. And I think if we were having a conversation amongst the three of us in about 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about, hey, how come he hasn't signed an extension yet?
Yeah, Mike Tannenbaum with us, former GM, NFL insider for ESPN, 33rd team as well. Were you a little surprised with the Texans and what they did? And do you think it's a big spread against the Browns this week, Mike? Do you think they can play with them at all?
Yeah, you know, a couple of things. Let's give them a lot of credit. You know, so much was made about the Deshaun Watson situation in the offseason, but what we saw was Tyrod Taylor to make some plays, buy some time with his feet. They got a couple of really good running backs. When you do that, you know, I had the great fortune of working for Coach Belichick twice in my career. And one of the things he always talked about, and, you know, Nick Caserio obviously comes from that same tree, is oftentimes in football, guys, the games are lost before they're ever won. And if you go into the game knowing that you're going to run the ball and you have a smart quarterback who maybe doesn't have the upside some of these other guys that, you know, we've talked about have, you know, the Aaron Rodgers or certainly the ability of someone like Jameis Winston, but Houston can make themselves hard to beat by just doing what they did last week. And they took advantage of a rookie quarterback. I was a little disappointed at Trevor Lawrence. I thought he misread a coverage a couple times. One led to an interception. And, you know, from a hopeful, from a Jacksonville standpoint, he'll learn from experience. As it relates to Houston and Cleveland, look, I think they know how they're going to have to play. I don't think they could sit there and go toe-to-toe with that explosive Brown offense. But I think if they can control the line of scrimmage and keep it, really try to take the air out of the football and try to run the ball, I think that would give them the best chance to win.
Mike Tannenbaum is with us right now, former general manager of the Jets, and a guy who's been with Dolphins, Jets. You've been around and you've seen a lot of different teams in their composition. Based on what you saw from Tampa Bay, you know, we know it's the same team primarily from last year. I would be a little bit more, and I thought Tony Dungy said something interesting. Tony Dungy said he spent all summer in Tampa, and one of the big concerns that Bruce Arians had was the, I think it felt like an urgency level from the team. Do you think that there is going to be an issue with keeping everybody up for Tampa in a season after they won the Super Bowl, and they are a little bit older team right now?
Ordinarily, I would say yes, because it's Tom Brady. I would say no. I think that's one of his many superpowers. Ordinarily, absolutely. There would be a big concern because it's human nature, and everyone's telling you how great you are. You know, Tom Brady has a lot of superpowers. One of them is this, you know, burning desire to be the best every single day. And when you talk to people in that building, you know, they tell you that he's a guy that brings energy to every meeting, every walkthrough. So ordinarily I say yes, but just because of him, I would say no.
Should we now play the Steelers early in this? That was kind of unbelievable, right? I mean, the Bills have got so much preseason hype, and Steelers go in there and handle business, but that's what the Steelers do early in the season, no?
Yeah, and you know what's interesting to me is it was really because of special teams and defense. You know, Najee Harris played every snap, and you know, we're not talking about Najee Harris. You know, and you know, I still have a lot of concerns about Ben Roethlisberger, just given his age, lack of mobility, and that offensive line. But what I would say is, if they can be that dominant in special teams and, you know, keep playing the way they are defensively, because again, they went against a really, really good offense, they're going to be a tough out.
If there's one game that resonated with me, Mike, it was what Arizona did to Tennessee in Tennessee. And I mean, not just, of course I expected them to have a potentially a big game throwing the football against Tennessee secondary, but what they did to Derrick Henry and what they were able to do defensively, how big a surprise was that, what Arizona did on the road to handle Tennessee that easily?
Yeah, that's why you and I are so aligned. I was shocked how well their defense played. You know, of course, we could sit here and talk about the greatness of Chandler Jones and what he did to Tyler Lewan, but I think when you look at that Arizona defense guys like Isaiah Simmons, Buda Baker, they have playmakers up and down that defense beyond J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones. They drafted Zaven Collins in the first round. So I think there's going to be a lot said about, you know, this explosive Cardinal offense, but I don't think enough's been said about their defense.
Following that up, I asked my dad about this. We were talking about Taylor Lewan getting beat, the tackle from the Titans getting beat by Chandler Jones, and he said when he was there with Arizona with Chandler, Chandler spent so much time working with John Bones Jones, his brother, a UFC fighter. He said his hands are so good. He doesn't have electric moves, but his hands are so good that he gets into a winning position very, very quickly if you're not on top of your game as a tackle. But I thought what was a potentially interesting strategic consideration was J.J. Watt came from the AFC South. He knows the blockers on Tennessee, at least some of them, and he also understands the running scheme, seeing Derrick Henry twice a year. And I was very curious if J.J. might have had some type of impact in that meeting room with Vance Joseph as the defensive coordinator, if a player could have that kind of impact. Did you ever find that when you were a GM and on the personnel side, that players could have an impact with a coaching staff after they come from a former team?
No question about it. It's a great point. And like you said, when you're in the division like that, there's such familiarity. it certainly can help, and you know someone's vulnerability. And, the, you know, as you know, there's that game within a game and techniques and, you know, things like hard counts and the way people are leaning, what pass tells. To have any sort of information on your opponent can always be helpful.
Mike Tannenbaum here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Cowboys go to the Chargers. They bolstered the defense this offseason, Mike, but did they?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're going to find out. I thought the Cowboys looked better, but they're still young. They have a long way to go. I believe in Dan Quinn, and I think they have a lot of young players on defense that I think will continue to get better.
Yeah. You like, I mean, hey, Washington did a nice job against the Chargers. Do you like the Chargers scoring a lot of points this week against this Cowboy defense?
Yeah, I do like the Chargers on offense, and I think Justin Herbert is going to be the next superstar in the NFL because of his character, his ability, his work ethic. You know, coming out, he was my number one quarterback 2 years ago. He reminds me of a young Roethlisberger. He can make plays with his feet, and he's hard to tackle. He can extend the down. And they have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, so I think the Charger offense is going to be really good.
I tell you what. When he came, I remember when he was a sophomore, I wrote him up as the number one player, number one quarterback when he was a sophomore. And then I didn't see a lot of improvement after that. But then when I watched tape on him, the interesting comparison against Tua is when you finish watching tape on Justin Herbert, you go, man, you just wish that he did this and this. But there were flashes where you go, holy crap. When you watch Tua, there was no holy crap moments. It was just, wow, look at these guys around him who are catching the ball and running 70 yards. Or look at this RPO. I never had the, oh, wow, moments with Tua. And yet, you know, he was a little more consistent. But that's why they say, Mike, grade the flashes. Because a lot of times those flashes, when they hit big.
Yeah, that's the old, like, you know, floor and ceiling debate. You know, in scouting we say, you know, what's their floor, what's their ceiling? And I just felt like Justin Herbert's ceiling. You know, Jerry Angelo, a longtime NFL GM, you know, he's talked about, you know, the tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling, meaning the talent is the baseline. And then, you know, your character will give you how high you can maximize your abilities. And when you look at someone like Herbert, you know, to me, he was a high floor, high ceiling guy. I thought, to me, Tua was a high floor guy. His ceiling wasn't as high because I just felt like he was short and slow, and thought he could still have a very good career. Just didn't see him having like the same sort of measurables that someone like Herbert has. So that's where the difference to me was between the two. And if you take it a step further, you know, if Herbert had played in the SEC, what would that have looked like?
Yeah, right. Short. He's short, but he's slow.
And I thought that he, you know, the knock on him was that he was, and I fell into this because I heard it from NFL teams. He grew up in Oregon. He grew up in Eugene. He played in Eugene. He's never seen. He didn't go to any of the openings or the, you know, any of those quarterback battles and camps and 7-on-7s. And he's just not built for an NFL locker room. And Mina Kimes had a really good article on ESPN about how he leads as more of a. He's a quiet leader, Mike. The demeanor, that's kind of, is that pretty rare for a quarterback to be kind of a passive leader as quarterback and who doesn't have that demonstrative personality?
Yeah, I think I learned that early in my career, guys. I was around the great Curtis Martin, and what lesson there is leadership comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes, and you don't have to give a team speech to be a great leader. And, you know, Justin Herbert is a lead by example, keeps the standards high. But you don't have to be a rah-rah guy to be an effective leader.
Yeah. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN, 33rd team. You got to get the emails from 33rd team. Great stuff. Great information. Always detailed and good stuff behind the scenes of what's going on in the NFL. Mike, we really appreciate you being here. Thanks again. And hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
All right. Mike Tannenbaum here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What about, would you like to have a nice grill with Mike?
I had the grill. Something sure, for him? Sure. If he wants to come over, I'll grill it up for him. We had the Wagyu burgers. My man, that's right. Michael at Pete's Fine Meats. We did Wagyu burgers for Mason's birthday. Mason wanted to have some burgers. So Drake and Macy came over. I had boyfriends and girlfriends and whatever. Well, it's just girlfriends. And the whole family was there, and we had a great time on the Memphis Grill, which is what I use. The pits and spit, but I'm telling you right now, the grills that they have available at Texas Star Grill Shop. These are high-end, high-performing grills. They're grills that when you make the investment in them, they're going to give back to you in spades, because they are long-term. They're built to last. They're built exceptionally well, and they're very, very durable, all of them that they have there. And their performance level is off the charts. And I can tell you that when you're looking for, whether it's wood pellets or a wood pellet grill, or maybe it's wood chips, or maybe you're looking for charcoal, they've got it. For rubs, for marinades, they've got it. Every accessory imaginable, they've got it. Most importantly, the top grills on the market, and they'll help you pick which one is right for you based on your budget and how you like to grill. TexasStarGrillShop.com, 4 locations. They'll also handle the assembly and delivery absolutely free. This is your one-stop shop for your barbecue needs, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.